This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
We're going to introduce Catherine Barrett. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity.
It's great that you actually made it. It sounds like you were stuck on St Kilda Road on a tram or something.
Roads being pulled up, chaos.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. Look, we need to stop. We need to stop whinging about roadworks.
We do.
We really do. I mean, we have to just accept that it's a fact of life. If you want progress, you have to put up with a bit of pain, don't you?
Nobody can complain because I'm getting a tunnel under my house.
Wow.
Directly under my house.
That's exciting.
Yes. A rail tunnel is going under my home.
I'm just annoyed that it's a 10-minute tram trip from my home before I get onto the tunnel.
Well, I may not actually have to use it.
Catherine, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for the invitation. I love coming into Joy.
Great. Look, we've been wanting to have a conversation with you about ageing for quite some time. This is obviously your area of interest and specialty. You work in the space, you breathe it, you teach about it, you talk about it, you write about it. What don't you do?
Oh, well, I'm doing it myself too. And, you know,
I'm a spring chicken.
Iris Apfel, the fabulous 95-year-old supermodel, says, if we are lucky enough to grow old, we should celebrate it.
I agree with that. But look, I find it quite disturbing because, you know, I've been involved in designing a couple of research projects of late, and you sit around with your steering committee and you look at sort of the population segments. And, of course, now 55 plus is considered old.
Well, it's not in terms of the government, 65
yes,
and over.
I mean, I find that really disturbing.
Well, it is, yes, because it is, 67 now, moving up to 67
but that's
for
pensionable
the retirement
age. Well,
I mean, you can't have it always, can you? I mean, that's...
And you've got to say, well, what's the issue? What's the issue here? I mean, the issue is that people don't like to be labelled old because it's considered something that's not desirable.
No, I don't
what
like to be labelled old.
What's wrong with getting old? Old is fabulous.
Well, in fact, I was with a friend once who gave a eulogy at a funeral and said that his aim in life is to always be the one who gives the eulogies.
I think there's a little known secret that there are things that get better with age, and I agree. And I do this activity with people where I say, tell us one thing about your ageing that is getting better. And often people say things like, I'm more me, you know, I know who I am, I know what I want, and I'll tell people who I am and what I want. And it creates this energy that we don't see out there in the community because we are so ageist. And I think as LGBTI community members, we have an opportunity to create any kind of space we want. And let's create a space where we value our ageing. Why not?
I think that's a great idea. But we don't, though, do we?
But we could do it right now. Every listener right this very moment could go, what is one thing that I value about my ageing? What is one thing that in the last year that's got better? If I look at myself a couple of years back, what is one thing that got better?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. So tell us.
Well, for me.
Yes.
Oh, you mean me.
Well, really. What do people say?
Same thing that I'd say, Bronwyn, and that is that for me, I'm really living my life now and in ways that I look at myself as a younger woman and I think how constrained I was compared to how I am now, and I feel like I am really fully living my life now because I know who I am, I know what I want, and I'm going out there and getting it. And that's the thing that I didn't do at 25
and
or 35.
And I think it's that sense that older people feel that they've got a bit more wisdom and discernment, and so they pick their battles. You know, I think that seems to me to be a characteristic of ageing is not... Yeah, not always having to confront everything head on, not having such polarized views, being a little, having seen a broader spectrum of things in the in your life. So, you know, some people get older and do get more entrenched in their views, but I think most people actually get more flexible.
Flexibility, yeah. And I love feisty alongside of that, Bronwyn. Like I'm speaking to someone the other day who said to me, you know, that as we get older, we get gentler. And I'm thinking, no, I'm getting more feisty as a woman. And I think there's some research that shows that that's something that happens to women, particularly post-menopause, we get really feisty.
Well, I heard a very interesting lecture by a former governor of Victoria, actually, Professor de Kretzer.
Yes.
Who
Who's done a lot of work in this space.
He has, and he's an andrologist by trade, specialising in men's plumbing, I suppose. Mm. And he argues that as men age, their testosterone levels drop. And, of course, their mood begins to drop, as does their body functioning. So muscle begins to waste and they find themselves tired and much more lethargic and with a lower mood. So he's actually quite an advocate for boosting men's testosterone. So it's actually a form of hormone replacement therapy. And I think of some of the people in my life, you know, some of even my peers actually, who, as I've noticed over the years, have just turned into grumpy old men. You know, we've all heard that concept. I look at my father sometimes and I think, I don't ever want to be like that. So I'll be taking testosterone as quickly as I possibly can.
Well, you know, there are some naturally occurring forms. I've got a spinning addiction.
Spinning?
At the moment. You get on your bike in a gym and the drugs, the drugs that are released... tell your friends that are going on that are purchasing testosterone. Tell them to get on their bikes.
Well, I don't have any friends apart from trans friends who are taking testosterone at the moment. Anyway, now, Catherine, you've been talking about this concept of rainbow families. What do you mean by that? What are rainbow families?
Well, I'm actually talking about families with rainbows.
Families with rainbows, so it's another thing. Okay.
It is, and there's some beautiful work happening in LGBTI communities around rainbow families. And what I see when people talk about rainbow families, I see people often talk about LGBTIQ people who then go on to have families. And the conversations are often, but not always, about IVF and parenting. But the group of people that I'm working with, there is... our family, and then a rainbow comes along, if you like, and that creates a whole different set of issues.
So is that a bit like an older relative coming out or transitioning later in life?
Yep. And so older LGBTI elders who may have had that experience as being the rainbow in their family in their younger years and being rejected, or maybe, you know, being told, you know, get married and forget about it and it'll all be all right. And then it wasn't. And so coming out of a heterosexual marriage and going either I'm gender diverse or I'm same sex attracted. And then the people in particular that I'm working with at the moment who are coming out or transitioning late, and there's a real point of conflict with families who don't want a rainbow in their family.
Yes. Catherine, I had this very experience myself just a few weeks ago. I happened to be at an event, and this trans woman approached me and said, "Hello, Tass." And I said, "Hello." And I was trying to be very polite and trying to work out what all this was about. And this trans woman then said, "You don't remember me." And I said, "No, I don't. I don't think we've ever met before." And it turned out that it was somebody that I knew in a former life who was a male and has now only recently come out and talked about their experience of being rejected by their children, their former wife, the broader family network, but has actually found a sense of security amongst the LGBTI community.
Fantastic.
And, you know, has done things like join some of the support groups like TGV and Seahorse and some of those groups, and is fairly active in this space. So like a lot of people who are transitioning, they find a bit of solace in advocacy work. So has actually now become an advocate for trans issues.
Do you think it's that as people get older, you know, some of these unresolved issues become more of an imperative for them? And I mean, some people go through their whole life and they keep it all under. But others get that freedom, as you said, that feistiness, that freedom, and say, look, I'm just not going to pretend anymore. Or this is something that's unresolved in my life and I'm going to sort this before I leave this planet.
Yeah, that's what I see quite a bit of, Bronwyn, and then a real point of conflict, particularly if people come out or transition in an apologetic way or they're trying to, they don't understand how to mediate that coming out or transitioning in a way that preserves the family relationships. Mm. So that's some work that needs to be
Catherine,
done.
Catherine, hold that thought, and Bronwyn, and we'll come back. Now, just before we continue, Catherine, if for whatever reason our conversation is raising any issues for any of our listeners out there, there's always help available, and you can take action. Just call Switchboard 1-800-184-527 or get online, or you can call Lifeline or a host of other support services like the Beyond Blue service as well. Catherine, so you were talking about coming out and transitioning late in life. So often we focus on the impact that this experience has on the individual themselves, but what about the families? And what can we do to support those families who are dealing with individuals who are having a change of life at some point?
I think at this point it's important to say that we've not really done anything to support family members that have a reluctantly have a rainbow.
I'm glad you said that because about 12 years ago, I was looking for something out there to provide support for children of a coming out gay dad, and we couldn't find anything. Now, hopefully that's changed, but that was... You know, it was disturbing 12 years ago that we just couldn't find any resources.
Yeah.
So I did a submission recently for the Australian Law Reform Commission into elder abuse. And one of the things that I focused on was the family members not recognising same-sex relationships of adults and not recognising gender identity. So one of the things that we need to do is we need to make sure that that's recognised as a problem, and then we need to do some work with family members to show them respectful responses to an older family member who's coming out or transitioning. And we need to do some work with our elders as well to help them build their skills in mediating with families and preserving those family relationships.
Yes, and it's not just the family, is it? It's also the institutions. So as Tass knows, I'm on the board of Uniting New South Wales ACT, first aged care organisation in Australia to get the rainbow tick.
You're the chair of the board, aren't you, Bron?
Not that one, Victoria.
Oh, of course
chair.
You are.
Yeah. I don't chair New South Wales, but I chair Victoria. And you know, this has been a long journey, but, you know, these institutions are incredibly intolerant and unwelcoming and unsympathetic and actually can play a really, really constructive role if they, go through this process and, you know how to manage these issues.
And Bronwyn, I agree with you that aged care service providers have a really important role. And the work Steve Chulin and folk did at Uniting was extraordinary. Mm. I think there are a lot of aged care service providers that are absolutely embracing LGBTI inclusivity. We've seen a real shift in the last 6 years. And I think when we think about the needs of older people, we think about aged care services. It's such a small part of the population.
It's only 5% of the population.
And I really don't want this conversation to focus on the aged care service, because I think we've talked about that. And, you know, and again, this is an ongoing issue and dilemma, and there's lots of stuff around there. But really, we want to talk about the aging process. And I think I'm interested in what can we do, what can we as members of our community do to be much more inclusive of older and ageing LGBTI people?
Well, there's a lot we can do, and I think some of the things that are happening in Victoria, for example, Matrix Guild is doing some wonderful work with older lesbians. Vintage Men and Boiler Society, great support networks.
They're still around.
They are still around.
Okay, I didn't know those.
They
are. I thought they'd gone.
They are, no. And Transgender Victoria. So there are particular support groups that are amazing. But I think some of the other things that we need to do, I've been having conversations with Midsummer Festival in Victoria about being more inclusive of elders. But I was going to launch a particular project today on your show.
Fantastic. Go ahead.
Wow, let's have it.
Tell us all about
first.
It.
Can a we world, do a drum? It's a world first.
Drum roll. 100 Years of Love is one of Alice's Garage new projects. And it's looking at celebrating the relationships of three lesbian couples living in Ballarat. The three lesbian couples have 100 years of
Amazing.
Relationships between them. And
do we know who the lesbian couples are?
We
they
can't
come
tell
out?
You yet because we're going to be they're talking to their families and we're going to announce it this week. The web page is up, but it's this very idea that we're talking about that the first lesbian couple have been together for 33 years and
wow.
they said when they got together, it was not okay to celebrate your love and so you kind of hid it, and they're saying you know and now one of them
they were
is,
just friends, two old friends living together, a couple of
don't,
friends
don't
living
shove
together.
It in people's faces, and so 33 years together and now one of them has a terminal disease, and they're saying we would like to celebrate our relationship. So what we're doing, and this is bringing it back to community, we're bringing the community in to pull together the celebrations. So as wedding planners and photographers and food providers, and it's that idea of a whole community, this regional city, coming in to celebrate these three lesbian elder couples
Lovely.
That have almost 100
Love
years
it.
Between
Lovely.
Them. So I think that thing like in a country town embracing LGBTI elders and LGBTI communities embracing older people as well too, and then working with families to help them build their skills so they can mediate their way through the conflicts that are happening.
Mm.
That's lovely. Now, all of us can't actually build a website to acknowledge our relationship and celebrate our relationship or to celebrate. So give us some more tips and ideas about what we as individuals can do.
I think what well today right here right now on Saturday Magazine
yes,
we're talking
you're
about
right.
elders.
Absolutely
so this is,
right.
And there are.
Can I ask a thorny question? This is from a non-gay person, right? A lot of
an ally,
but you know, a lot of the stuff that you mentioned, Midsummer, you know, and we've got Mardi Gras, and you know, there's kind of like for younger gay people, you know, for many of them, they're kind of clubby, out there, body beautiful, you know, sort of outrageous sort of behaviour element within the community. How does it? Do people struggle sometimes to get as they get older, and that is becomes not so much their scene, you know, finding their place and their scene?
Well, I'm going to take that another step and say there's actually also a bit of ridicule amongst younger generations of older people participating in those spaces.
Yeah.
And I recall when I was much younger, yeah. I used to go to a nightclub called Three Faces.
Mm.
Every Saturday night, loved it. Me and my friends get dressed up, we'd go out there and just dance the night away. And we always laughed at Grandpa Acid.
Mm.
Now, you know, I now reflect on that and think, well, I'm appalled about my own behaviour, that we actually were so judgmental about an older man who would turn up every Saturday night, God knows what he took, but he'd be up on the podium with his fan, dancing away, having a great time. And he outstood most of us, probably because of what he'd taken, I'd say. But nevertheless, he was a source of ridicule for a lot of younger people.
Yeah.
Yet he was minding his own business, having a great time. Now, how do we change that attitude?
You're doing it right now.
By talking
you're,
about it.
You're talking it. About it. You're acknowledging it. You're saying you're inviting people to think about how that might be hurtful.
Yeah.
Matthew Wade from the Star Observer, they just did a feature on LGBTI elders. You know, we are, within LGBTI communities, we are changing the world for LGBTI elders. Now, in Victoria, aren't we so lucky to be in Victoria? The Seniors Festival in Victoria has just gone LGBTI off.
Yes, it has.
There are five events this year. I'm delighted to say three of them are mine. and so what that does is it says that Seniors Festival is for LGBTI elders as well too. And last year
not just ballroom dancing for Pa and Ma.
Well, I have to say Tristan Meacham and Beck Reed from All the Queen's Men doing the ballroom dancing for LGBTI seniors is fabulous. But last year the first event we did you know, we had the banner for Seniors Festival said it was an LGBTI event and I had older people ringing me up and saying, I'm 86, does that mean I'm an LGBTI person?
I love it.
So, and there were dozens and dozens and dozens of those. And so this is changing the world. It's changing the way older people think about LGBTI people. You are, on Saturday Magazine, changing the way your listeners think about older LGBTI people.
And I'd really like to encourage, you know, older LGBTI people to not just stay at home and knit and get out and do things and go to Three Faces and dance the night away. Yes, it's going to take a lot longer to recover, but really, why should we stop doing these things?
Yeah, we shouldn't.
Don't you think?
Well, I'd like to see more intergenerational activities happening as well too, and maybe we can do another couple of announcements in the next month with a couple of other activities. But I think engaging younger middle-aged and mature-aged people in coming into our elders' worlds and understanding what it's like for them would be wonderful.
Fantastic. Mm. Now, you mentioned Alice's Garage. What is Alice's Garage?
Alice's Garage is a project I set up at the start of last year to empower LGBTI elders and promote healthy LGBTI ageing, and it came from that. The work I've done previously has really focused on aged care service providers, and I think we've done a lot of focus on aged care service providers.
Yeah. And you're right, it's only 5% of the population ever go into a nursing home.
So I think if you have a look on the website, one of the gorgeous projects is called Beautiful Women. You interviewed Breastscreen Victoria a couple of weeks ago, so acknowledging the diversity of LGBTI women is an important part of healthy ageing, and there are five projects that I'm launching this month.
Fantastic.
In the next month.
Fantastic.
You so are very busy.
So how can people find out about
your ageing disgrace?
Where do they go?
Alice'sGarage.net.
Alice'sGarage.net.
And follow us on Facebook if you want to see. Yes, there's a picture of Noel Tovey sitting in state parliament waiting for an apology from the state government, dwarfed by the massive pillars, but actually what an assertive, powerful man.
So you're actually looking at a computer screen image as you are describing that.
Thanks, Tess. We're not on television.
Catherine, it's great to have you in the studio. Thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your excitement and your energy about, you know, the more diverse elements of our community.
Thank you for the invitation to be here.
And we'd love to have you back on again sometime. Once the project, the Ballarat project, is up and running, maybe we can even meet some of those three couples if they're up for that.
You'd love them. They'd love it.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.